This morning, I'm here to do two things. The first one, I'll quickly present the ministry the Lord has entrusted into our care and what is going on back in Ghana. And then I'll do the second one, which I love to do, is to preach. So I'll, first of all, thank you very much, Pastor Roger, for this invitation. I am very grateful to you. The last time I came here was about 2 or 3 weeks ago. When I was coming, I did not know Pastor from nowhere. Pastor Tim Reich introduced me to him and says I should call him. I called him the first time. And then last 3 weeks, I just did a walk-in to come and meet him. But when I came here, you know, I've been to several places, several countries on this planet, and then several places in the United States, several churches. And I can tell you, when I see genuine pastors with a heart for people, you see them. And one of them that I can tell you is that your pastor has a very good heart. And that, I say, Pastor, God bless you. When I came here, he treated me like he knew me before. He treated me like I'm one of you. He treated me like a Christian has to treat a Christian brother. And that makes me know that he is a genuine pastor and a genuine Christian as well. So, Pastor, thank you. Thank you, congregation. When I came in, you could have walked me out. But when we're shaking hands, many of you shook my hands. Thank you for this opportunity. My name is Samuel Mohenu from Ghana, West Africa. And my wife is Dorcas. Our picture will be showing up there. Please, you hit it twice at any time. Yes. We are missionaries with the Gospel Preacher Association. We just joined the mission this year. Came into the country in June to go to the mission field. Actually, when I was in high school, way back about 23 years ago, when I was finishing high school, I knew the Lord was calling me into full-time ministry. But because my dad was a full-time pastor, I decided never to enter into ministry, to go into ministry, full-time ministry. And so I got enrolled, did a 4 years course, and then went my own way, started making money. But the happiness that I need to, the satisfaction that I need to have in my heart was not there. And so I decided, you know, God, if you want me in ministry, then there is something that you and I need to share in common. I want you, Lord, if you want me in ministry, I want you to bring me from Ghana to the United States to Bob Jones University, where my dad got educated, so I can also get educated and go back home. And that is the prayer that I prayed in my room. And to tell you to cut a long story short, the Lord listened to me and gave me a scholarship to come to Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. I came to Bob Jones in 2004, enrolled, started undergrad when I already had gone through 4 years of education, started undergrad, and the Lord took me through 6 years of education, finished grad school, and after 6 years, I got married to Dorcas. And we went back home and started ministry in 2010. We joined our mother church, which was back home. And the Lord, the Bible says, to whom much is given, much is required. I have, by the grace of God, acquired a lot of training. The Lord called me as a pastor, and he called me as a teacher. He also called me as an administrator. And the Lord has opened the way, giving me several opportunities for us to be able to serve in ministries like that. So first of all, we are involved with church planting back home in Ghana. By the grace of God, over the past 3 years, the Lord has used us to be able to start about 3 churches. One was already started by our mother church, and I superintend all the churches that we have actually the Lord has used us to establish. The Lord has also blessed us with a school which we use as an evangelistic tool to be able to bring Muslim kids and all kids from other religions to actually train them in the gospel, to preach the gospel to them. We have a school of about 726 students. We use that school as an evangelistic tool, like I said. And this school, what we've designed a curriculum such that when these kids come to school, we run a trimester, not a semester. Every trimester, they memorize a chapter of their Bible. And the philosophy is that if the Muslims are able to memorize chapters of the Quran, I don't see the reason that Christian kids should not be able to memorize chapters of the Bible. And so we do that at our school. And I can tell you, it is amazing to know that through the memorization of scriptures and the teaching of the scriptures, the Lord has brought several Muslim kids who have graduated out of our school and have converted to Christianity. So please pray with us that the Lord himself will continue to use us in the direction in which he has used us. The next ministry we are involved with is training pastors. We bring in pastors from the surrounding regions. Ghana is surrounded by about 4 French-speaking countries. And these countries bring in students into our school. It's called the Ghana Baptist Theological Institute. They bring in students, we train them, and then send them back to their own countries to begin churches and to also evangelize their communities. And the Lord has seen several men trained who are also training other men. So we are in the Timothy program, which is the Apostle Paul said, "Thou therefore, my son," 2 Timothy chapter 2, "be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." The next program we are involved with is organizing evangelistic crusades. Ghana is a free country, and their charismatism has taken over the country. And so the Lord has burdened our hearts to be able to evangelize openly. We set up tents, we set up just podiums, and we preach the word of God, and we've seen several people confessing the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. We have a few pictures. Please start rolling. And then I'll show you a few pictures of what the Lord has used us to be able to accomplish. The first picture you will see is our children's ministry. We have a children's ministry. It used to be the Awana Club, but we actually moved from Awana and started our own ministry. Children's ministry is called the RNTC Children's Club. We wrote a curriculum which enables these kids, which number over 100, they come to our church from all walks of life, and then we train them in the gospel. We make them memorize the scriptures, and they go out there. And through that, many kids have been able to grow to become church leaders in other churches and even in our churches as well. Please roll. The next slide you will see is our school. It's called Faith Christian Academy. Like I've said, we train future leaders. These are a section of the school. This is the junior high department. They are listening to a message that I was preaching at the time that we took this picture. So we train these kids to be able to grow to become the future leaders of our country. Please, the next slide. The next slide is training future leaders of Ghana. So they dress, they put on their attires. We ask them what they want to become. Some of them want to become lawyers. Some of them want to become doctors. Some of them want to become policemen. Some of them want to become nurses. And this is the pilot that we have. So our school is training future leaders. And please pray with us that as we train them, they will not derail from the path of the gospel. The next one, please. The next one will be church activities. Several of the churches that we've planted. This is our evangelistic campaign, like I showed you. We organize this and we have placards. All church members come together and we have a school band that plays behind us, and we go around distributing tracts and just waving these placards to tell people about the gospel. Please, the next slide. This is our church planting activities. The Bible says, preach the word when they believe, baptize them. When you baptize them, accept them into church membership, and they become members of the local church. And this is our church planting activities. So that is basically what you see over there. Please, next one. These are some of the churches that we have. We have, it's only two churches. And one of the churches that we have in one of the villages has a church building. And that's the building you are seeing over there. Please, the next one. I've already explained all that I need to explain. So, yes. Next one, please. This is our Bible school, Bible Institute, where we train the men that are going into full-time ministry. These are recent graduates of our school. You see me over there as the director of the school. I took pictures with the recent graduates. The next man beside me is from Nigeria. Nigeria is two countries away from Ghana. He is going to preach the gospel. And the last guy over there is from Liberia. And all the rest are from Ghana, but from different parts of Ghana, who are also going to start churches. Please, next one. So these are all pictures of the Bible school that we have and the activities that are involved. Please, pray with us. Our Bible school, we have a land which is being taken from us, so we need to fence it. Pray with us that the Lord will provide the funds for us to be able to fence the Bible school. Our school also needs a bus to be able to bring students who live far away, and also help bring church members. So please pray with us that the Lord will provide for all the needs that we have. Basically, these are the ministries we are involved with, and we are just going around praying that the Lord will help us to be able to replicate all the ministries that we have all across the country. It needs strength, it needs money, it needs the support, prayer support of all of us. So please pray with us along those lines. Thank you and God bless you. So in this direction, this week, America, you'll be celebrating the Thanksgiving. And I was glad when Pastor opened the Bible and read from Psalm 100. But the Lord laid on my heart to preach a message on Thanksgiving. It is found in Psalm 136. Would you please rise as we join hands, or as we join hearts, to read God's word. Psalm 136. We'll read it responsively. I'll read the first one, and then you would just have to respond. Pastor, please, would you do that for us? Psalm 136. Kindly lead us to read it, and then I'll preach.
Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
Shall we all respond?
For his mercy endureth forever.
Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods.
For his mercy endureth forever.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords.
For his mercy endureth forever.
To him who alone doeth great wonders.
For his mercy endureth forever.
To him that by wisdom made the heavens.
For his mercy endureth forever.
To him that stretched out the earth above the waters.
For his mercy endureth forever.
To him that made great lights.
For his mercy endureth forever.
The sun to rule by day.
For his mercy endureth forever.
The moon and stars to rule by night.
For his mercy endureth forever.
To him that smote Egypt in their firstborn.
For his mercy endureth forever.
And brought out Israel from among them.
For his mercy endureth forever.
With a strong hand and with a stretched out arm.
For his mercy endureth forever.
To him which divided the Red Sea into parts.
For his mercy endureth forever.
And made Israel to pass through the midst of it.
For his mercy endureth forever.
But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea.
For his mercy endureth forever.
To him which led his people through the wilderness.
For his mercy endureth forever.
To him which smote great kings.
For his mercy endureth forever.
And slew famous kings.
For his mercy endureth forever.
Sihon, king of the Amorites.
For his mercy endureth forever.
And Og, the king of Bashan.
For his mercy endureth forever.
And gave their land for an heritage.
For For his mercy endureth
forever. And heritage unto Israel, his servant.
For his mercy endureth forever.
Who remembered us in our low estate.
For his mercy endureth forever.
And hath redeemed us from our enemies.
For his mercy endureth forever.
Who giveth food to all flesh.
For his mercy endureth forever.
O give thanks unto the God of heaven.
For his mercy
shall we pray. Eternal Father, we thank you this morning for the opportunity that is ours to be able to give thanks unto you for all that you've done for us. Father, we pray that you will help us, that as your children, we'll always find the opportunity to be able to thank you because of who you are and what you are able to do. Hide me behind the cross, O Lord. Empty me and speak through me this morning that your word will come clearly and admonish us to be thankful all the time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please take your seats. Many Christians are fond of thanking the Lord only when things or when times are good. Many of us have been ungrateful for a very long time. We only show appreciation to God when He does something good for us. But when bad things happen in our lives, we start to blame God. But the psalmist here is telling us, giving us reasons, admonishing us as to why you and I need to be thankful to God. We should not wait until Thanksgiving time that families can come together and praise the Lord for what He has done for us. We should not wait until the Lord has healed all our wounds before we thank Him. We should not wait until our families are going well or things are going well in our families or families before we thank the Lord. We should not wait until our sons and daughters become obedient to us before we thank the Lord. We must be thankful to God in whatsoever circumstances we find ourselves. David, in the Psalms, gives us several reasons why we need to thank the Lord. And if you read from Genesis right down to Revelation, the Bible gives us several reasons that you and I need to be thankful. But this morning, I want us to concentrate our attention on this particular Psalm, Psalm 136. Which tells us as to what God did for the children of Israel. And if God did it for the children of Israel and He is doing it for us today, I do not see why we cannot thank the Lord. First of all, the psalmist says we must be thankful to God first because of His unending love. The Lord loves us so much. In John 3:16, the Bible tells us, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Beloved, because the Lord loves you, that is why He sent His only begotten Son to come and die on your behalf. And David, in Psalm 136, verse 1 through 4, tells us why he gives us the unending love that the Lord God had for the children of Israel, and He has for us today. And that is the reason that you and I need to thank the Lord. David says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. For first of all, He is good, and His mercies endureth forever. Had it not been the mercies of the Lord, where would you have been? Where would I have been? Most of us were on our way to hell, and the Lord found us and snatched us and brought us in and added us unto His people. Beloved, had it not been that the children of Israel were disobedient to His word and they did not accept the Savior, who are we to even call ourselves Christians today? The Bible says in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And in John chapter 1, verse 11, the Bible tells us, He came unto His own received Him not, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. The Bible says that Christ found us, and because His people rejected Him, that is why He found it necessary to embrace all of us and make us one people in Him. So if you have salvation, it is not because you are beautiful, it is not because you are handsome, it is not because you are taller than anybody, it is not because you are shorter than anybody, it is just by His grace. It is just by His mercies. That is why you are a Christian. It's because of the kind of love that He has for you and for me. That is why He called us out of this world and made us His own. So the Bible says, we first of all need to thank the Lord because of His unending love. Christians must thank the Lord because, secondly, of His wonderful creation. From verse 5 through 9, we see what the creation of the Lord is. This is the Bible says, to Him that by wisdom made the heavens, to Him that stretched out the earth above the waters. If I would go on and read, we've already read. And if you read from verse 5 through 9, the Bible tells us what was in the beginning. In the beginning, nothing was. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Bible tells us in the book of Genesis chapter 1 that when God wanted to create this world, there was nothing in this world. And just God simply what? He spoke, and the world came to being. He spoke, and whatever He created, He did not create all at once. When the earth was created, the heavens were created, He actually had to separate the light from darkness. He had to separate the waters from the land, and He made all things beautiful for our enjoyment. That is why we need to thank the Lord. There are certain crops that are able to grow in America that cannot grow in my country. How beautiful the Lord is, that He was able to divide people of color. I am black. You are white. Somebody is Caucasian. God created all of us. Beautiful. The piano. If you look at the piano, if you play only the white keys, it will not make sense. And so God made the piano such that when you play the black and the white, you blend it, the music can come out well. Is God not wonderful? God has given wisdom to mankind so that mankind can even create an aeroplane, a plane that can just move from F and carry people all the way from Africa, 10 good hours sitting in plane, and I came and landed in the United States. Is God not wonderful? Look at the bird that flies in the air. That is the wisdom that God gave to man, that if the birds are able to fly, then people can fly in something in the air. Is God not wonderful? Look at the beauty of the earth. Look at the seasons that you have. You have winter. It comes to a time that it gets cold. You have summer. It gets to a time that it gets hot. You have autumn. You have spring, you have whatever, different seasons. God made it all. Who created the seasons? Is it not God? Who created the flowers that blossom? Is it not God? Why are we not able to find room in our hearts to be able to thank the Lord all the time? Beloved, we need to be thankful. Christians must thank the Lord for His creation. Christians must first of all thank the Lord for His unending love. You know, had it not been the grace of God, most of us should have been consumed. Because when it is winter, we complain. When it is summer, we complain. When it is spring, we complain. Human as we are, that is who we are. We complain all the time. Do you remember when the children of Israel... Our next point, we'll see that we need to thank the Lord for salvation. When the children of Israel were in bondage, you see that from verse 10 to 15 in Egypt, God found it necessary to bring in a man by name Moses to lead them out of bondage. And he gave them salvation. But we were like the children of Israel. When they got to the Red Sea, and the times were difficult, and things were hard, and they saw the Red Sea, they started murmuring and complaining and saying all sort of things to Moses. They said to Moses, "Moses, Moses, why have you brought us here to come and die? Are there no burial places in Egypt? That is why you have brought us here to come and sink in this water? That is why you brought us here to come and die?" They started complaining like most of us do. But the Lord, being so merciful, when Moses cried unto him, God told Moses, "Tell the children of Israel that today, the people you see coming, the enemy you see behind you, shall be no more." He says, "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. For the Egyptians that you see coming, ye shall see them no more." The Lord has delivered us from the hands of the evil one. Had it not been the Lord, most of us would have been consumed by the evil one. But the Lord saved us. He snatched us. And he can call us by his name. Why are we not grateful for salvation? The Lord, Christians must be thankful to the Lord, fourthly, because of the Lord's victory, the Lord who has won victory for us. Christ went to the cross. And on the cross, we see that in from verse 16 through 22. He went to the cross. And even when the times were hard, even when it was difficult for him to go and die on the cross, and he cried, "Father, if it be possible, may you lift this cup from me." Even when he was crying, he went to the cross just because of you and because of me. And he died. And the Bible tells us that death could not hold Jesus Christ in the tomb. Christ, on the third day, he told his disciples before he died that he was going to pull down the building, the sanctuary, and then the third day he was going to do what? Rebuild it. They did not understand. He was telling them of his death. Christ died on the cross. He was buried. And he won victory over death just because he promised he was going to do so. Christ has won victory for us. And if Christ says one day, as the disciples saw him going, he would come the same way and receive us unto himself, that where he is, there we may be also. When the church in Thessalonica were confused about this and they wrote to the Apostle Paul wrote to them and said, that they shouldn't be troubled. They shouldn't let their hearts be troubled. And that the Lord Jesus Christ would come one day at the sound of the trumpet. When the trump shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. And so shall we ever be with the Lord in the air. We're going to reign with Christ. If he resurrected and gave us victory over death, we are more victorious than anything else. Christianity is not a religion. It is a personal relationship that we develop with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, all the other religious leaders are in their graves today. But thanks be to God, we are victorious because Christ resurrected from the grave. Hallelujah. That is why we need to sing praises to God. Some of us come to church and we come with our burdens and we walk out with our burdens. "I was glad," David said, "when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." Come with gladness. Come with praise. When you come, leave all the burdens here and go away, because he has won victory for us. Is your problem bigger than the victory that Christ has won on the cross?
No.
Your problem is not bigger than the victory that has been won for you. The devil has been conquered once and for all. We are more than conquerors through him that saved us. That is why we need to be thankful all the time. Christians, lastly, or last but one, need to be thankful because of his friendship, the Lord's friendship. The Lord loves us. So in verse 23, the Bible says, he remembered us. The Lord remembers us all the time. Even when we go astray, when we sin, the Lord remembers us. Christ is our advocate. He stands before the Father. And when we sin, and 1 John 1:9 tells us, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Why is he able to do so? Because we have an advocate with the Father. When we cry, we pray, and we pray, and we pray, we must pray in the name of Jesus. And Christ says, Father, forgive him, for he know not what he has done. Oh, he's a friend. He remembers us before the Father. He's a friend who frees us all the time. He's a friend who feeds us, who protects us, who guides us. We need to be thankful, lastly, because we need to be thankful to the Lord because he deserves to be praised or to be thanked. Lastly, in verse 26, the psalmist says, oh, give thanks unto the God of heavens, for his mercy endureth forever. Are you serving the same God I'm serving? The God that brought the children of Israel from bondage. The God that saved the children of Israel. He walked them through the Red Sea. Is he the same God you are serving? Are you serving the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of Abraham? Had it not been God that Jacob cried unto, his brother would have consumed him. Is that the same God you are serving today? Then you need to be grateful. I listened to the testimonies this morning. Now, brother who was leading the music had a wonderful testimony. Do you have a testimony? Oh, some of us think we don't have a testimony. Some of us think that the life we have, we have the right to life. You don't have right to life. You don't have the right to live. Because I was at the hospital on Friday to visit somebody. And all those people, if they had the right to life, they should live. But just as I was there, I saw them bringing a stretcher. And they went into one of the rooms. And they brought a man, speechless, motionless. He could not do anything. They just zipped him up. The Lord has taken his breath. This morning, if you are alive, if you have life, there is nothing that bars you from thanking the Lord. There are people who, when they were going to bed yesterday, told their kids, see you tomorrow, see you tomorrow, see you tomorrow. But this morning, they went to bed and never woke up. They are dead. They are counted among the dead. So if you have life, if you have breath, if you can walk, if you can stand on your feet, no matter the problem you are going through, you need to be thankful. Because the Lord commands us to be thankful. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. For his mercies endureth forever.